Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. At high noon today, Governor-elect Charlie Baker will be sworn in as the 72nd governor of the Commonwealth and then delivers his inaugural speech at the State House. We'll have live coverage at noon on WBUR and WBUR.org. But right now, as he drives into Boston for the day's ceremonies, Governor-elect Baker joins us now to talk about this day. Good morning, and thanks very much.
No, happy to be with you, Bob.
What's at the top of your mind right now, knowing in less than 5 hours you'll be governor of the Commonwealth?
Well, I think the big thing is just gratefulness I have to the voters and the people of Massachusetts for giving me this opportunity, Karen Polito and me, and the enormity of it all. We spent some time yesterday in the State House chatting with the newly sworn-in legislature in the House and the Senate, and we had a big, big interfaith service last night that, oh man, probably had 50 or 60 churches and just a ton of different denominations represented. And the sort of enormity of the whole thing became very clear.
Governor, other than working on the appointment of staff, which up to now you've said is your top priority, what's job one for you, the top challenge that Governor Baker will try to tackle right away?
Well, Bob, as you and I have talked before, I'm a big believer that people are policy, so the hiring of terrific people is going to continue to be a very important priority for us. But obviously, you know, coming in the door, the first issue we're going to be dealing with is the deficit in this fiscal year, which, you know, depending upon who you believe, is probably somewhere at least in the vicinity of about $500 million. Not an insignificant number at all. Now, admittedly, the state budget is around $40 billion, so it's a... it's a relatively small piece of that, but obviously we're halfway through the fiscal year, and I'm sure that's going to be a big challenge for us.
Big picture question about the economy. The New York Times reported a few days ago that Massachusetts was near the top of the list in terms of the division between the rich and the poor, or economic inequality, and in between, the middle class is shrinking. How do you imagine your administration dealing with this over the next 4 years?
Well, I've talked a lot during the campaign, and there's a lot of history out there that shows that this wasn't always the case. When I graduated from college, which admittedly at this point was a long time ago, circa 1979, 1980, Massachusetts was right in the middle of the pack nationwide with respect to this question. But we've lost a lot of manufacturing jobs over the course of the past 30 years or so. And as that's happened, a lot of the jobs that used to provide for that middle-class opportunity have drifted away and ended up in other parts of the country and in some cases out of the country. And I said many times during the course of this race that part of the reason the economic competitiveness question is so important to me is I want us to create a climate where people who make things believe this is a good place to make them. I've also talked a lot about the fact that I think we need to bulk up our vocational education capabilities. There's a lot of jobs out there for people, good middle-class jobs for people who are skilled and able to take them on. I mean, literally thousands of them, and there have been studies done that demonstrate there could be as many as 100,000 new jobs in a lot of those fields over the course of the next decade. I think the other thing, Bob, is the achievement gap in education. While we have made lots of progress in education over the course of the past 20 years, that achievement gap in education is a real issue with respect to how people ultimately do in life. I mean, let's face it, if you don't get a great education, your chances of getting terrific employment opportunities are significantly reduced. So I think all of those things play into this.
I want to ask a quick personnel question about Ronald Walker, your choice to be Labor Secretary. As we know, the Boston Globe has reported when he chaired the Roxbury Comprehensive Community Health Center, he charged them huge consulting fees at the same time the center spiraled toward financial collapse. In the wake of this, is he still a cabinet choice? Did your team properly vet him?
The answer to those two questions are yes and yes. Ron's been involved with a large number of for-profit and nonprofit organizations over the course of his banking and consulting career, many of which have done enormously well and been tremendously successful. And the demise of Rox comp was, you know, just a really crummy, terrible story. But Ron's track record as a leader and as a manager and as a thinker is terrific.
You deliver your inaugural speech in a few hours today. Thematically, these speeches are largely about problems and promises. You've already talked about one problem this morning, solving the immediate state budget deficit. Let me ask you, in your view, what's then the promise of the Baker administration?
I would say a couple things, Bob. One thing is certainly that we are going to do everything we possibly can to create a more customer-centric state government. It bothers me when I see people having to wait sort of 4 or 5 hours, lose a whole morning or a whole afternoon at work to conduct fairly simple transactions at the registry. I also think there are things we can do to improve the quality of the services that we provide to many of our most vulnerable populations. And I think a big part of the message that we've delivered to the folks that we've been bringing on board is you better be prepared to be measured and to be held accountable with respect to your performance. And while we'll certainly work with people to establish what the baselines are going to be around that, we're going to expect improvement quarter over quarter and year over year with respect to the job we do serving the people we're supposed to serve.
Last question. What is it you want residents to know most about how Charlie Baker will govern, especially those folks who didn't vote for you in November?
I guess what I would say, Bob, is we did say during the campaign that we were going to chase 100% of the vote. And we did campaign in a lot of places where we fully expected we wouldn't do that well on Election Day, because we knew that if we won, we would be governor and lieutenant governor for 100% of the Commonwealth. And what I would say to the people who didn't vote for us is keep an open mind and judge us on our performance.
Governor-elect Charlie Baker, thank you so very much for giving us a few minutes of your time this morning, and good luck today.
Great. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it.